I gave that some thought recently, and I could come up with a lot of different things. I could talk about the historical documents. Did you know, for example, that there is more outside of the Bible historical documentation for Jesus Christ than there is for Julius Caesar? You aware of that? I could talk about the archaeological findings. One thing that is very clear that the archaeologist's shovel always verifies and always confirms and refutes the critics of the Bible. I could talk also about the prophetic fulfillment in the Scriptures. Did you know that in all the world's religions and all of the sacred writings that represent them, that there is not one shred of fulfilled prophecy outside of the Bible? It's unique. Christianity is really unique for a lot of reasons. But I want to briefly share three reasons with you. And the first one is this. There is a vast difference between Christianity and religion. Now, I know some of you have studied world religions in college or in school at one time or another. But there is a big difference between Christianity and religion. And when I say Christianity, I'm talking about what the Bible teaches. I'm not talking about Christian tradition. Okay? There's a major difference between religion and a relationship. For instance, religion is all about rules. It's all about a to-do list. It's a code of ethics that or morals that you follow. Christianity is different from that. It's not rules. It's life. Christianity is a life. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. He's not merely rules. He's the life. And he said, I have come to give life and to give life more abundantly. In fact, one of the terms, one of the titles for Jesus is he is the life. He's the eternal life. Religion is all about rituals that you follow. And of course, they vary. But real Christianity is in the Bible is its reality. In fact, the Bible talks about having a form of religion, but denying the power thereof. There's a big gap between rituals and reality. And Christianity is reality. Here's another major, I think, uniqueness about Christianity. You can boil it all down. All the world's religions fall into a category of do. There are things that you have to do. You have to work at certain things in order to perform a religion. When it comes to the Bible, because it's a relationship, it's not about what you do, it's about what already has been done for you. It's the difference between do and done. The Bible says there's not something that you have to work for in order to have a relationship with God, but rather God has already done the work for you. It's called gift. It's called grace. The Bible says that it's by grace alone that we are brought into a right relationship with God. It's not of works. The Bible makes it very clear. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to His mercy. It's by grace. It's a free gift. It's not by trying. By trying to do this, that, or the other, by trying to be good enough, by trying to have your good works outweigh your bad works in the scale, so to speak, but rather it's by trusting. There was a time when one of the apostles and his missionary partner were in prison for preaching the gospel. And there is an earthquake, and the jailer thinks that all the prisoners have escaped, and so he knows he's going to die if his prisoners escape, so he's about to kill himself. And Paul hollers out and says, stop. We're all here. And the man, this warden, comes before Paul, the apostle, and he falls down and he says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Do you think they gave him a to-do list? You think they told him that he had to work in a certain way? No, they simply said this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Simple as that. It's faith. Faith is the access to this life, to this relationship, to partaking of a work that has already been done, finished, complete. In fact, I always like to remind people that one of the seven sayings that Jesus spoke from that cross in great difficulty and in anguish was, "It's finished. It's finished. It's paid in full." What? What's finished? The work that is required for an individual to have a relationship with God and have eternal life and one day a home in heaven, it's finished already. There's nothing left for you to do. He finished that work when he presented himself as a sacrifice. But the thing that I really want to concentrate on and end with this morning is this. Christianity, though it's unique in many ways, in my mind, especially at this time of year, why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? I think this is it. In world religions, it is human beings seeking their definition of God, whatever that might be. It is human beings running after through these rituals, through these works, by following these rules, by trying to do this, that, and the other, to come into some place where they can sense a rightness and thus nirvana, whatever they're seeking after. Christianity is unique in this. It is not about man seeking God. It is about God first seeking man. That is a key thought. It's not the human, it's the divine, really, that's at work here. And at Christmas time, what we are doing is we are celebrating the fact that God sought man. There's an old gospel song, I don't think it's even in our hymnal. I looked, I didn't find it, but the refrain of that song is, "Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go." What would bring the God of heaven, the Creator of all things, down to this earth and take upon Himself a human body and die such a shameful death? He was seeking man. It was God's way of seeking His creatures so that He could bring them into oneness with Himself due to sin. The Bible says that Christ suffered once, the just one for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's what this season is all about. This is what we're celebrating. It's God seeking man. It's not man seeking God. It's God doing the seeking. It's not man climbing or clawing or lifting himself up to heaven. It's God coming down from heaven to lift man into oneness with Himself. There is a passage in the Bible that we get to our church theme from, the name of our church, Bethel, House of God, and it's set in the time of Jacob, when Jacob had that dream. Remember, he dreamed of a ladder from earth to heaven? And someone, I don't know who, came up with a song that is theologically incorrect. "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." And it's really a picture of human beings clawing their way to heaven by their own works, by their own life. They're trying, they're working. They're following rules and observing rituals and traditions in order to climb Jacob's ladder to heaven. It is not about climbing Jacob's ladder, but it is trusting and taking Jesus as the ladder. In fact, in the first chapter of John, Jesus says to a man, he says, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man, meaning Himself. In other words, there is one ladder to heaven. And it's not Jacob's ladder unless Jacob's ladder is seen to be Jesus the Messiah. That's the one way. That's the only way from heaven to earth. And it's all because, as we celebrate at this time of year, God seeks men. He's seeking you. He sought you. Perhaps you have come into oneness with Him. You've recognized your inability. And you've come to trust Him as your personal Savior. And you have the joy of knowing this morning as you sit here that your sins are forgiven, not because you've been good enough, but because Jesus has paid it all. Remember, He finished the whole work. And He did it perfectly on that cross. And because of that, you're trusting in Him. You're not trying, you're trusting. You're not following rules and ritual, you're in a relationship. You have life. You have the very life of Christ in you. Big difference. Because God sought you, because God brought you, because God lifted you. And one day it's all going to be so clear, it's all going to be crystal clear, because one day we're going to see Him. Those of us that have received Him are going to see Him face to face. He's going to bring us to be with Him, and we'll forever be with the Lord. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in. There's a lot of uniqueness about Christianity. And I would think that by 2,000 years, if it was a hoax, it probably could have been proven by now. But the fact of the matter is it's real, because it's what the Jewish Scriptures have prophesied. It's simply the fulfillment of all that the Jewish Scriptures have said. The verses that were quoted come right out of the Jewish Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, what Jewish people call the Tanakh. It didn't just fly out of nowhere. This is what God has planned, and this is what God has done. And if you don't know Him, if you're trying to get to heaven, if you're trying to carve out a place for yourself, if you're worried or if you're concerned at all about how you stand with God, if you're observing rituals, if you're following traditions, if you have rules that you feel that you have in order to please God, I'm here to tell you that God has already accomplished the work that you're striving to accomplish. You're wasting your time. It's wasted energy. All you need to do is recognize, number one, you are not fit for heaven. Neither am I. We're not fit for the presence of God. In and of ourselves, we are filthy, guilty sinners. We have offended a holy God who will not wink at our sin and overlook it, and because He's a God of love, let us come into heaven unforgiven. No way. That is not the God of the Bible. Sin always has to be paid for. Sin always has to be dealt with, and here's your choice. You can choose to try to pay for your sin, which will take you into an eternity in hell in which you will be trying all of eternity and never be able to pay it off, because your sin is an infinite debt. It's an eternal debt because it's against an eternal being, God. So you can never pay it off. Or you can trust the eternal God Himself, who on that cross, on that tree, He paid that infinite debt because He is God. And He was able to accomplish that. And you can trust Him, what He did for you, and you can receive Him. And when you do, you receive His forgiveness. And you have then a place reserved for you in heaven someday. And you can walk out of here today having made a decision. You can walk out of here knowing that you are a child of God, a new person in Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, through His Spirit lives in you. And that you are the recipient right here and now of eternal life that never ends. And you'll have a home in heaven when that day comes. That's what Christmas is. God's seeking you. And if you're here without Him as your Savior, it's no coincidence that you're sitting here this morning. It's because God has drawn you, and you thought you were coming maybe to see someone perform. That's secondary to what God's doing. He arranged it for you to be here today because God cares that much for you personally. And He wants to bring you into that oneness with Himself. He wants you to know Him. He wants to be in your heart. He wants you to be with Him forever and eternity. And that's what this is all about. And it is a wonderful life. Let's bow our heads together.